Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Football cards collecting and investing. His name is Andy. My name is Carter. It is playoff time. And anyway, my big thing off the jump, but I want people in the comment section to let me know, are you a Kaboom fan?
I do love a good Kaboom, man. I mean, it's going to be close, though. These new color blasts, especially after looking at that CJ Stroud Tank Dell combo that sold for almost 10 grand yesterday. It sold for like an extra 3,000 over the singular CJ Stroud card, which was pretty interesting because it's vertical. But yeah, But I like a good Kaboom. I do like a good Kaboom.
So we have Absolute coming out in the next week or so. Pretty pumped up about that because there's been so much hype surrounding the downtown insert. I really do think people are going to Kaboom hunt in a major way. And one thing I've seen, Andy, is people, even if it's not numbered, they love the flashy insert case hit. They love the color blast. They love the downtowns, and they love to Kaboom, baby.
Whew, man, yeah, that is the big chase card from that set. People get so excited to just rip through a ton of Absolute to try and find themselves a Kaboom. Now, the question I have, Carter, if you pull a Kaboom, do you get it graded or do you keep it raw and put it in a one touch? You know, they're known for that print line on the Kaboom. It's kind of a known thing. So definitely look out for that, like the top or bottom of the card. That would be my big question.
Yeah, I am a owner of one Kaboom card, and I like it in my one touch. I really do. But, you know, I'm also, especially if you rip it before anyone else, just sell it right then and there. But once there's 10, 15, 20 Kabooms out there, I say go get it graded because if you get a 10 in that color or in that set insert, whatever, you're raking in cash because there are some people out there, Andy, with the higher end inserts, they only want PSA 10s.
Yeah, that's it, man. They want those PSA 10s. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about these case hits and you look at the difference between nines and raws. Sometimes you see the nines actually going for more.
Right.
And I think that's just because it's authenticated. And people are like, yeah, it's authentic. I don't have to worry about this being a reprint because we've seen quite a few Kaboom-like type custom cards that have been recreated on the market, which is cool. It's an artistic expression, but you definitely want to get an authentic. If you're paying 5 G's, you want an authentic one.
So Absolute's coming out. The reason why I say this in the next week or so, we'll probably do another show before it's actually out. I just want to put it out there because if you're still paying a lot of money for downtowns, I do think Kabooms that will come out will obviously affect any player's card market. So there you go. I will say that there are so many reprints, whether it's actual cards or t-shirts, keychains. A lot of people love doing it with a Kaboom design, as Ziggy No points out. We also say hi to Brian in the live chat. He says there are lots of fake customer Kabooms, so in my opinion, PSA is critical for Kabooms PSA 9 or 10.
Yeah, it really is. So as you can see here in the Jordan Love market, almost all of them are graded. You know, look at all the top listings and stuff for Jordan Love, an unlikely candidate to make the playoffs, but a top five fantasy quarterback this year, Carter. And I'm wondering, this is me, my next question for you, as you see all these Jordan Love kabooms here on the screen, is now the time to sell Jordan Love? I mean, they're heading into the playoffs against the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be a very tough matchup for the Packers, especially with the way Dak and CeeDee have been playing. And I know that oftentimes the Dallas defense was, I think, overhyped this year. I still think they're solid. And Jordan Love, being more or less a rookie quarterback, had a phenomenal inaugural season here with the Packers, leading them to the playoffs in their first season. LaFleur loves the guy. Obviously, he looks like he may be their franchise quarterback. What's your reaction to Jordan Love making the playoffs here? And do you think people should work to even sell these Jordan Loves or hold them?
It was crazy, Andy, because Jordan Love was like the first quarterback who had not really gotten his chance to play in that 2020 Prism like hype cycle, right? Because, you know, Burrow played, Herbert played, Tua played right away. Jordan Love had to wait. And the reason why I say that is there was a lot of anticipation with his prices beforehand. We saw Jordan Love's prices get really, really, really high before him ever making a start. And Andy, he's played really, really, really well. Jordan Love's a guy that I've liked on here for quite some time. And Andy, he was a guy that I drafted more of than any other quarterback on Underdog, and it paid off. I do think this would be a good time to sell because of playing Dallas on one of the biggest stages you could possibly play. And I think I would look to move it on the hype before this game began, because there is a high likelihood that Micah Parsons makes this guy look absolutely horrible. And there is no doubt in my mind that Dak Prescott is going to light up that Green Bay defense.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys are wondering the same thing, and I'm getting this question a lot. Do I do a seven-day auction and end it like right before the game, or try and end it at halftime, which we know can be a risky proposition, especially on guys like Baker Mayfield, Jordan Love. You know, they're even looking at Matt Stafford. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Matt Stafford and the Rams going into Detroit, you know? What a storyline there. So if you've been holding on to some Matt Stafford since the late 2000s, 2009, 2010. I mean, this is a great opportunity, especially with Puka shattering rookie records. And then on the same side, I hear Eagles fans congratulating me on making it to the divisional round already. They think the Bucs are actually going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I know he's probably intentionally being pessimistic about his team, maybe hoping for a reverse jinx there or something, but you know, Carter, what do you think about selling the Bakers heading into Philly here? Or actually, don't the Bucks get home field advantage on Philly?
Bucks get the home field. And you got to keep in mind, a few years ago, this is where Philly got knocked out because they went to Tampa and got beat down by Tom Brady. And they're kind of in a similar spot, right? Not really playing that well, but they're kind of backing into the playoffs. We're huge Jalen Hurts fans on here, but man, has his play declined recently. I do think the Eagles win, so I guess I'm just rolling with Hurts, even though he's not played well in this offense, and defense has been unbelievably poorly coached.
Yeah, they're definitely not. They're on the hot seat. Whereas you got guys like Dave Canales, offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, who's now a head coaching candidate. We got quite a few head coaching vacancies this offseason. I think even one of your college football guys, one of the Harbaughs, man, he might be making his way back to the back to the NFL. I know he's got a coach's ticket auto. He's looking at these rookie ticket autos for Jalen Hurts. His PSA 10 base rookie ticket auto selling about 1,500. Jordan Love's 900. It does seem like maybe Hurts has. I think it's probably a little bit safer bet to say that Hurts advances to the divisional round than saying Jordan Love. But if you look at the price difference, knowing the background, the story behind Green Bay, and you look at getting that Jordan Love for $600 cheaper, I'm almost tempted to recommend buying Jordan Love right now over Jalen Hurts. Although I would want to wait because I would think that maybe Jordan Love dips after being eliminated from the playoffs. But what if he what if he wins this weekend against Dallas? That would be crazy. I mean, there's going to be there would be a really big spike from that. So that's why, like Carter, I go back to when guys ask me, do I end it in auction right before the game or at halftime? They're like, man, that's really risky proposition. I mean, sure, if you got a hot card like a rookie ticket auto or serial number prism, something nice, even an orange laser prism. Something nice and color matched, popular brand, rookie card, shield, all that kind of good stuff. You can roll the dice and end a big name player like Jordan Love at game time, and you're going to force a sale. You probably get a pretty decent market value premium. But ultimately, for me, I'm like, what if the game script goes horribly wrong? You know, and then I'm just like, my auction goes for like 50% of what it could end for, and I could have just held it in a buy it now and listed it for what Jordan Love was, his hyped up prices at the beginning of the season when he came out swinging in early September, and maybe listed at that and see if it gets back to that. Surely if they win this game against Dallas, it's getting back to that. But right now, I think people are going to be more reactionary than they are placing a bet on him to get past Dallas.
You know? Yeah, more reactionary instead of predictive. I'm totally with you on that.
Right now, people are going nuts on Lamar. You know,
here's one thing I would mention. Okay, and this was going to be my play of the week, but I'll go ahead and bring it up now because we're on the topic. I love the thrill of starting an auction, knowing that a playoff game is happening when the auction ends. I have done really well with a bunch of Bengals cards and them playing in these playoff games because I know Joe Burrow always plays very thrilling playoff games and he often wins them. So I've done that with a lot of my Burrow and Jamar cards, and it's worked out really well for me. And Andy, this weekend I actually got lazy. I saw the kickoff time for I started hearing that the kickoff time for Sunday night's game was going to be Rams-Lions. And I have some Jameson Williams cards that I picked up at the National to sell on playoff hype. And Andy, I just got lazy. I was like, I don't want to do a 7-day auction. And watch Jameson Williams go for 150 yards. And I should have done that freaking 7-day auction, because I'm not a JMO fan. I'm not at all. But I know if he goes ham in the playoff games and I have an auction ending, Andy, people get that itchy finger. They're going to be like, oh, I got to go to eBay and see which auctions are ending to see which deals I could get. So, Andy, I actually like doing the 7-day auction and ending it while the game is being played. So if the game kicks off at 7, I'll end it around 9:30 or 10, even if it's on the later side, because you could get some impulse people trying to go win an auction.
100%, Carter, especially on a skill position player and they have the spike game and you time that right, there's a good chance you're going to get 50 to 75% higher than what you probably were going to price it out at in a buy it now. Now, right. Of course, it all depends on the card, right? It's a big difference between a base absolute card and a silver prism and a, you know, short print serial numbered rookie auto, that kind of thing is. So yeah, it all depends on the card, but I like skill position guys taking some auction. I mean, we've seen evidence. You will get 50% higher sometimes, maybe more in your auction. If you got the right player that's spiking in that game, it's a little bit too risky for me, man. I like to know what I'm gonna get and negotiate from there. I see I see Brian. Brian says he wants to sell Tua in this week in an auction. But, man, I got to think that Tua, like Jordan Love, people are going to be more reactionary instead of placing bets on them to beat the Chiefs.
Especially after the high-profile Sunday night game, Andy, where the Bills are able to pull it off and Tua threw that pick, right? Mm-hmm. I still think there are plenty of people that think correctly that Tua, I've been labeled the Tua hater. I do believe he is a Mike McDaniel merchant. I'm not saying he's bad. It's just he is propped up by one of the most ridiculous group of skill guys you'll ever see in the NFL. And he's going into a playoff environment where it's going to be 1 degree. No S at the end, 1 degree. And they don't have Chubb. They're all banged up. So, yeah, man, it's just hard for me to get going on the Dolphins here. So I'm with you, Brian. There might be a better time to do it. But if Tua does win, he obviously goes to the next level.
Yeah, he goes to the next level, and then you see a significant increase in the values. Guarantee, especially if it's a good performance, it's not heavily relied upon, Tyreek Hill breaking 20 tackles and A-Chain and Mostert and those guys doing the same thing. But then on the other hand, we talk about guys that are already have been going up tremendously. Mason Rudolph. I mean, he's the latest in the quarterback Cinderella stories here, Carter. Mason Rudolph led Pittsburgh Steelers, strings 3 wins together, makes the playoffs. He's unlocking George Pickens. Najee Harris arguably has the best game of his season this past week. Granted, they're playing backups. but still, the Steelers are in the playoffs. You know how massive that fan base is. And the Mason Rudolph cards were cheap, but they have gone up over 100% in a lot of cases. And I think a portion of that is because they were so cheap. But, I mean, this is a team that's scrappy, man. Can they go into Buffalo and beat the Bills here? And should people sell those Mason Rudolph cards heading into this game?
Yeah, you definitely should.
Yeah.
one other thing is it is confirmed that the Steelers will be without TJ Watt in this game. That just broke. So, obviously, Andy, we do it every year on the show. We give our Super Bowl predictions before the playoffs begin. Andy, is there anything that's just sticking out to you right now?
Man, it's the storylines this year are so exciting. I mean, we had so much uncertainty even into Week 18. Like, I did not expect the Texans to actually make it into the playoffs. There was a tweet from the Jacksonville Jaguars account back on December 13th that they were putting playoff tickets on sale. And that tweet aged horribly. So to see the Texans emerge, I mean, it's such a cool story, such a cool story. So I'm really interested. Now the Browns took a week off, their starters. So I wonder if that's going to be detrimental and if they will lose any momentum with Joe Flacco, if he'll come out and kind of stutter, and CJ Stroud just rolling, man. And we saw Nico Collins cards go up, spike like crazy Saturday night. So I still think that the Ravens right now are like the clear, especially after seeing John Harbaugh take down the college football championship. It might be like, written in the stars that the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl this year. But or did I say did I get the Harbaugh's first names wrong?
No, you're right. John's with the Ravens. Jim is with Michigan.
Yeah. So I think John, and then, man, who's going to take down like this NFC race with the Eagles kind of sliding, especially on defense, has gotten super interesting. You still got to be bullish on the Lions, but they lost Sam Laporta Saturday night, so maybe this is good for maybe that Jameson Williams gets even more involved. But Dallas is humming right now. The Rams, Matt Stafford, he's got nothing to lose. I mean, this is a total shootout. If I had to call it right now, man, I feel like one of these wild card teams is going to make it. But who's going to take down the juggernauts of San Fran and Baltimore? It's easy to sit here and say, yeah, it's going to be Baltimore and San Fran. But I feel like every year there's a wild card team that makes it all the way. And maybe the Chiefs get back there. Carter, I'm really struggling to get a feel. I want to root for my Bucks, but I mean, that would be the most unlikeliest of heroes emerging out of the NFC, you know, getting through the gauntlet, you know, just getting past the Eagles is going to be a miracle. Yeah. What are you feeling?
All right. Well, what's your prediction? Who are your two?
I got to make one, don't I? I got to make one. So, let's go. Yeah. Let's go Lions. Let's go
Lions.
Let's go Lions, man. Let's go Lions, Texans.
Oh my God. Dude, just please go jump into an erupting volcano full of electric eels. I mean, that's come on now. We can't be Lions Texans. Really? That is so. You're wearing your Lions blue today.
I'm wearing the Lions blue. Yep. I don't know. You know, I'm pulling it out of my ass here, but yeah, I'm going to go Lions Texans. I just think that the momentum that the Texans have right now, this could be the Cinderella story, and you could see the highest prices on a rookie quarterback you've ever seen in your life.
That's true. I'm going to go Bills 49ers. I think Buffalo has proven themselves to be one of the best teams in the NFL. You look at some of their losses, just absolute bad luck versus Philly, really bad luck versus the Broncos. I mean, the Bills, when Lady Luck is not tearing them apart, they are the best team to me in the NFL, or at least in the AFC. The only thing I don't like about Buffalo is Sean McDermott. I think he's just one of the two or three worst coaches in this entire bracket. The way I see it, Andy, I do like the Browns beating the Texans. The script writers want a Browns versus Texans round two matchup. So if that's the case, the only way you can get that is if Buffalo and Kansas City wins. So if you're a conspiracy believer, you know that the NFL wants the second round to be Baltimore, Cleveland, and Kansas City Bills, right? Because that's mm-hmm. a big, you know, rivalry with Joe Burrow being out of it. So I have Bills and Ravens in the AFC championship game. Bills get it done. I do have chalk in the NFC as well. San Francisco and Dallas in the NFC championship game. And I am going to go with San Francisco dominating the Cowboys in the NFC championship game, slaying them one final time in the playoffs, or maybe many more times. So I'm going to get a little chalky and go Bills 49ers in the Super Bowl. And I'm going with the Buffalo Bills getting it done this year in the playoffs. And I'm drafting a lot of Josh Allen teams on Mittens on Underdog Fantasy. So sign up now, use promo code Quest. There you go.
Bill, there you go, guys. And Brock Purdy is the most submitted NFL player right now to PSA. I mean, it's not even close, man. If you look at his keep 'em data, I mean, right now, just in the past week, the guys had 1,700 cards added to the PSA database in the past week. And the next closest one is CJ Stroud with 894. So people are quickly submitting those CJ Strouds as well. We have Prism that was just released. And I mean, so many monster transactions went down over the weekend, Carter. And believe it or not, Trevor Lawrence is still the third most submitted guy in the past week to PSA. I don't know if people were still hoping he's making the playoffs or people are still just hanging their hat on his number one overall draft capital and you know, his high school, college profile and all that stuff. But I mean, what a terrible finish for them to start out 8-5 and then the last six games go 1-5 to just totally flame out. And missed the playoffs. I mean,
that's crazy. Ooh, with Mason Rudolph getting in, that is a bad sign. And that's the crazy thing about the AFC, right? You had this stacked playoff field and Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence, three of the biggest quarterbacks in the hobby, Andy, did not even freaking make the playoff. And of course, Joe and Justin in particular got hurt, and Trevor Lawrence got banged up. But Andy, if you are one of those people that have Herbert, Burrow, and Lawrence cards, what would you do right now? Because it's not, I check Joe Burrow's prices pretty often. I mean, you can't just go get him for cheap. I mean, it's not as high as it once was, but I mean, still, to get a Burrow rookie ticket auto, you're spending quite a bit.
Yeah, you're still spending quite a bit. I mean, like, we looked at the Jalen Hurts PSA 10 for $1,500, the Jordan Love for $900. If you look at the Joe Burrow, I mean, those are still going for over $2,000. The interesting thing is when I look at the Justin Herbert, so here's a Joe Burrow Optic PSA 9 that went for $1,250. So, you know, those PSA 10s are going up. That's actually not a bad deal on the SGC 9.5 or 9.10, but that was on December 13th. But when you look at Justin Herbert, now I think you have an opportunity here where a lot of people are starting to get the fire sale on Justin Herbert, man. And you could see some, like, this one's the variation. So it's the short print plus it's PSA 10, 2,300. I mean, that's down 50%, or I guess 100%. I mean, the old price on this, the top price is probably closer to $5,000, you know?
Right.
This one's a PSA 8 auto 10 on a base optic rookie ticket auto, $765. His prices have gone down quite a bit. And you know, you don't have to go for a rookie ticket auto. You could go for like the orange laser. You know, we've talked about this before, but the Chargers uniforms really look good in a lot of different parallels. And we know that the golds and the rookie ticket autos and the more higher end stuff for these quarterbacks get super expensive. But let's look at the 180 day. I mean, the base prism, I mean, you can see they're now the Herbert under $100. That's very close to what it is for Jalen Hurts. And it's kind of flatlined a little bit because I think that they actually got even lower. Yeah. Look, there's a $50 buy it now on last Friday. So people are starting to liquidate and fire sale their Justin Herberts a little bit more. I don't think they're doing that on Burrow, but there may be a bit of that, Carter. But this is generally the trend. You're getting a good discount, but it could get a little bit lower, man.
Yeah, so you see the base prism PSA 10. That's both of them in the top left right there, correct, Andy?
Yeah, let me zoom in here a little bit for you.
And you see 116 compared to 7736. That's pretty steep, if you ask me, between the two of them. And the reason why I bring that up is you see Herbert is comfortably under even Jalen Hurts right now, which you would have never have thunk just a few years ago. But, yeah, I mean, Herbert might be a good buy-low opportunity because, Andy, if the Chargers go get Jim Harbaugh, I mean, Herbert's prices go back up pretty quickly. So, just based on that Harbaugh name getting back into the NFL and the fact that Harbaugh just wins everywhere he goes, you know, wins, gets two Super Bowls, wins national championships. Herbert has consistently had bad coaching. And trust me, I've been critical of Justin Herbert on here before, and I think he's overrated. But Brandon Staley was terrible. Justin Herbert's coach, Mario Cristobal, is now known in college football, Andy, as one of the worst game managers. So, look, Herbert's had to overcome bad coaching. We give him a guy like Jim Harbaugh, it might be all he needs to get to that next level.
That might be it, man. I would say I would love to see them also spend their first-round pick on a good wide receiver, right? No, none of this Quentin Johnston stuff over here. But, like, let's actually draft a real alpha wide receiver that can really step in on this team and help Justin Herbert get to the new level. That and new coaching. All right, we're back in business.
Malik Nabers, watch out to the Chargers. That would be absolutely insane. We appreciate Manny G with the super here. He says, I pulled a Bronny James 4 out of 5. Anybody want to buy? Here's one thing I'll say about Bronny James. Probably no one here because it is a football card channel, but here's what I would say, Manny G. Okay. There is a Bronny James in college football right now, and his name is Arch Manning, where you have super famous athlete, super rich athlete already, with a super famous last name. We don't know if either can actually play or not, but their prices are going to be absolutely absurd. That's why the hype is what controls everything, Andy.
Hey, man, it really does. I mean, it's a lot more than just performance on the court or the field, whatever sports you're is playing. A lot of it's name recognition, you know, and if you can back that up with some decent play, you get that hype. You know, look at young Shedeur Sanders. And you know, look at all the hype he quickly accumulated very quickly and from a small division school, you know, because of who his dad is. So, you know, hey, good luck selling the Bronny James. We really appreciate the super chat, Manny, and thank you for contributing, man.
All right, it's time for hobby tip of the week, Andy.
Let's I want to like actually share this. You share this, so I might actually be stealing your thunder here. But I wanted to look at this grade report, right? I wanted to share this grade report with everybody here on the channel. Over 17 million items were graded across the four major graders in 2023, which is up 19% compared to 2022. So just seeing that number alone, Carter, do you think the hobby has gotten bigger? I mean, an additional 19% raw cards graded from 2022.
Do I think that's interesting? Obviously, Andy, I think the hobby is about the same, right? I do think seeing these statistics where more cards were graded, is that entries from just this season, or is that backlogs being cleared up? That's where, you know, I was kind of confused there, because it could be that they just always were backlogged and they got more items. You get what I'm saying, Andy?
Yeah, I felt like the bulk of the backlog though was in 2021.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like 2022, you know, is kind of that was cleared up and it was normalized in 2023. That I feel like this should be really good data.
Yeah. Let me start by saying this. Will we ever see just absolutely crazy prices for things again? No. I mean, you just won't ever see some of the cartoonish stuff like a base Clyde Edwards-Helaire rated rookie going for $250, you know. Yeah, you'll never really see that now. And for those that don't know, that card is maybe a dollar right now. You won't see Mac Jones types of things where his one of one immediately goes for 100K cash. And still, good luck to that kid that got it. But do I think it's grown? Hell yeah. I mean, like, the National last year just seared in my brain that there are a lot of people that really still do love sports cards. Have there been an overall dip? Sure. But people still care, and by people still putting in more cards to get graded, that lets me know that they care even more, right? They're willing to put their money in and wait the long time for the card to get back. So, Andy, I am optimistic about these numbers.
Yeah, and I'm really impressed to see that you have CGC actually kind of taking a step up here. Their overall market share last year, 10% compared to SGC at 7 and Beck at 4. And we know they're backed by the largest paper and coin grading companies in the world. So, and they transformed, I guess you could say, evolved their labels. They look a lot better now. The plastic's fantastic. So to see them growing in market share is awesome. I do see their values growing. We'll talk more about that later as well. But yeah, I see it growing, Carter. And then I'm looking at the gem rates. Gem rate for all cards graded in 2023. I'm assuming this is the rate of nines and tens, because when gem mint is a 10 and gem is a 9. So it's important to specify that. And then a gem for Beckett should probably also be a 9. When you think, Carter, I think this is all 9 rates across the board, like the rate of the nines.
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So nines are higher, basically.
Yes.
43% at PSA. I mean, that's fair. It's not as much as I think it was in years past. So they've gotten a little bit more consistent, maybe. And you definitely have some more sets like the 2021 Prism that was just atrocious, you know, and just terrible issues out of the box. And so I think, I think that's pretty fair across the board. Some really interesting intel here from gem rate.
Baseball and hockey were the top growing sports.
Wow.
Hockey? People cared so much about a sport where you can't even see the puck. They decided to submit their cards. Hockey in the year of 2024, there's all these different sports that are way better than hockey. The UFC is better than hockey. Golf's better than hockey. Fencing's better than hockey. Air hockey's better than hockey. And people still do it. I mean, what kind of society is this?
I'd rather watch lumberjack competition than hockey. I mean,
chopping wood, baby. Now, I am really excited about that. One thing I will say, I was shocked to see baseball go up. Right. Baseball prospecting just sounds like the absolute most brutal thing. But I say that as two of my favorite LSU athletes of all time are like two of the best baseball prospects, Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. That's not here nor there. Andy, my hobby tip of the week is very, very simple. I shared it a little bit earlier, so I won't go into too much detail. It's also going to be my play of the week. But if you are able to get a playoff schedule and predict and see what time the games are, I'm a big believer in a 7-day auction with the auction time ending towards the end of a game, right? It's worked for me. It's still a risk because a player could suck. He could get hurt. They could lose. But, you know, I wanted to do it with this James Williams PSA 10 aqua blue. This card is so beautiful. I've not wanted to sell it. I'm not even a James Williams fan. And Andy, you were with me at the National when I traded into this thing. And I kind of wanted to end it on Sunday night, but I got lazy and I was like, I don't want to go through all of it. And I'm regretting it because I know for sure he's going to go off this weekend. So there you go. Andy, before we get play of the week, I'll let you take a few of these questions, including this one. Mr. T says, Jaden Daniels climbing the draft prediction ladder. Is he more CJ or Bryce Young next season? What's your prediction on that, Andy?
Jaden Daniels climbing the draft prediction ladder. Is he more CJ or Bryce next season? I can't imagine that he's more Bryce, because I feel like he can always rely on his legs. You know, Jaden's got that ability to rely on his legs if need be. So I would say if anything, you know, I don't know, Carter, like I haven't studied him enough in college. Does he have an issue with holding on to the ball too long? And I guess part of that could be due to play design. Like they were, you know, drawing up all those long routes and elongated plays for Justin Fields, and they need to draw up a lot of like that Shane Steichen, like quick out route, slant route, like, you know, you got 1-2 reads, and if it's not there, you take off with your legs kind of thing that they did for Jalen Hurts back in 2021. So, yeah, it's interesting, but I think Jaden Daniels is not going to be like either one of those guys, because CJ can actually hang in there and make those throws and those reads. He's been very polished as a rookie, and they gave him a lot of big boy type plays. It wasn't a lot of those, you know, type of RPO style plays. So depending on where he goes, right, and who's going to be the head coach of the Falcons and who's going to be the quarterback there, you know, I think Jaden Daniels could be very interesting. He could be more like Lamar or something, when going back to 2018 when Lamar was a rookie, you know. I'm super, super interested to see where Jaden Daniels goes. And I think a lot of it could come down to who's his coach, you know.
Right. I could see him go to the Giants at 6. Obviously, the Falcons at 8. It's going to be hard to see him go past the Falcons at 8. Obviously, Andy, the big domino when it comes to where he's going to go, it's all going to come down to what Chicago wants to do at the top of the draft, right? Because, you know, Jaden's probably not going to go number one overall, but there's so many dominoes to fall after what the Bears are going to do. But I think Jaden's floor, Andy, is pick number 14 to the Saints. That's obviously where I want him to go. I do think if he gets to pick number 13 to the Raiders, he is for sure going to go there. Because if Antonio Pierce is named the head coach, he's not passing up on Jaden Daniels, as those two have a very strong relationship from their Arizona State days together. So we'll see what happens with where he goes. Andy, I do feel like it's important for me to ask you where you stand on the Justin Fields situation from a football card perspective.
I still think he's a buy, man. I actually think the way they finished in week 18 is leading to the perfect opportunity right here throughout the playoffs to actually buy him. Because I think once we get into the free agency time period and some dominoes start to fall there in free agency, you know, like where Kirk Cousins is, what's going to happen with Kirk, you know, what's going to happen with guys like Ryan Tannehill and stuff. You know, once some of those dominoes start falling, then the rumors are going to start heating up big time around what's going to happen with Justin Fields. And we're going to be getting into draft time, you know, and combine. So I think ultimately, I think his prices could spike on draft night. It could be a package deal worked up on draft night, and it's a blockbuster move. And ultimately, we see a nice spike there. And then the spike could extend through, you know, the beginning of September, wherever he lands based on the coaching and the weapons around him. So I'm still a buyer right now, Justin Fields. I think the way he finished leads to a nice extended dip, if you will, here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. I do. I mean, the NFL is such a whatever happened last type of business, and Justin Fields stunk it up in the final game, and well, he didn't stink it up. There's more to the game than just him. But still, I think the Bears are actually going to draft Caleb Williams number one overall, much to the chagrin of the locker room, because they want Justin Fields to be their guy. I will say this. Andy, the hobby really needs Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence to play well next season, because you're like me. We don't like it when full sets of football cards are rendered meaningless, right? And the 2021 draft class, this is a quarterback-driven hobby. I understand that there are more great players in the 2021 class outside of just the quarterbacks, obviously Jamar Chase being one of those guys, Micah Parsons, and so on and so on. But Andy – but there's got to be a quarterback that plays well in that class, because it'll tank the prices of people holding on to that sealed wax. And I just hate it when entire quarterback draft classes just stink.
Yeah, and not to mention the PSA 10 hit rates were so low from the main products, Optic, Prism, the rookie ticket auto base set from base contenders from 2021. Terrible. Remember they had the trimming scandals and stuff because of how much edge and corner issues there were. So they need those quarterbacks, those big time players. It can't, like you said, it can't just be a couple skill position guys. We know the quarterbacks really kind of get the most market share. It's kind of like PSA compared to the other grading companies. Like, they get love, but not to the extent of the quarterbacks, you know, and their markets have grown. We've seen that this year when guys like Puka and what CeeDee Lamb and even Amon-Ra have been doing lately. But yeah, man, in 2021 product, like I said, just the PSA 10 hit rate's so bad. So there's got to be some quarterbacks that hang in there. But it's not going to be McCorkle. I think it's pretty safe to say it's not going to be McCorkle.
Also, some other breaking news, Andy. Pretty big name coach just got fired. Do you want to guess who?
Is it McCorkle's coach?
No. Now that would be the biggest. Your phone would be going crazy.
It would be one of those those missing person alerts or something.
Well, I will tell you this. This guy that just got fired would be very likely to replace Belichick if he were to get fired.
Mike Vrabel and on the Titans. Wow,
the can, bro.
He was coach of the year, just but not 2022, right? 2021, I think.
Yeah, remember he beat Lamar, and then Lamar beat him in the playoffs. So Vrabel gets the can, bro.
So you know they're going to make changes there. They're probably going to make a change. They're going to move on from Tannehill because they have a choice between Levis or potentially draft another quarterback at 7. They're going to move on from Derrick Henry. So this is wheels up for our boy Tyjae in 2024.
Oh man, yeah. Obviously, you know the Titans are going to go get an offensive minded coach now. I doubt. I doubt that they go get another defensive minded coach. So pretty big news. I mean, Vrabel was a well-respected head coach. I do think he gets another head coaching job. I do. But then again, Vrabel, where this really fell apart, Andy, was the Treylon Burks deal, right? You know, where they got rid of AJ Brown and they brought in Treylon Burks, who was just stunk. I mean, we were wrong on that. Actually, I take blame for that. Treylon Burks just stinks. But we were right about Tyjae. God, dude, it sucks, man. It sucks for Vrabel, but I think he'll get another job.
Yeah, I definitely think so. He's one of those guys. Our guy Kadon Salters is calling him to the Pats. That would kind of fit their MO up there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean he's a Patriot goat, man. I think that's where it's going to go, but we shall see. It's out of
vacancies to fill.
So, yeah, it's true.
Sorry to interrupt you. A lot of Commanders, Falcons, Titans, Panthers, Raiders, and Chargers. I think Antonio Pierce gets that Raiders job, but Chargers another hole.
It's now time for play of the week, Andy.
So there's two options, right? You can try and make plays on guys in the playoffs, or you're buying to try and flip in free agency, or potentially draft hype cycle. So I think that's the biggest question, and I think you got to ask yourself that: how much risk do you want to take on? Like, obviously, if you're trying to flip right now in the playoffs, it's going to be a lot riskier, right? Because it could not work out. You cannot get the game you want. So you look at a guy like Baker Mayfield, price is still very low, man. And you could maybe make a play. And if he beats the Eagles, now all of a sudden prices go up a lot more, you know, if they advance to the divisional round. So at the same token, I think you got to ask yourself, is he going to be a starter next year? Well, he's hitting free agency. Chances are he could re-sign with a new team. He could re-sign with the Bucks. I think either way, he's in as a starter at this point after the season that he's had. No?
No, yeah, you got. I think you got to run it back with Baker. I do, unless something just falls in your lap.
So we got to run it back with Baker. So now all of a sudden we got another season as starter, which is a whole offseason of building up hype. And then you go and you look and you look at the finishes, man. You look at the amount of production. So we're strictly talking fantasy correlated directly with the NFL football card market. And when you do that and you understand that these people that rise up a lot in average draft position from 1 year to the next, they go up in football card value because they're going to be hyped up. They're going to be talked about in all these circles heading into September. So for that reason alone, I think you can kind of, you know, you can kill two birds with one stone. You can buy a card, give yourself hope for the playoffs with Baker. You can also give yourself hope for this next September, and you stack him with a guy like Mike Evans, who's also hitting free agency this offseason, who I don't think will be able to keep because the contract negotiations stalled out before the season started. And I think maybe he could land with a team like the Chiefs. You know, he could land with a contender to get another ring next year. He's probably only got a couple of years left. So I love making stack plays. I think it increases your upside, kind of limits your downsides. You're diversified a little bit. And then you've got multiple outs in the future, playoffs, free agency, and then September next year. So that's it. I go with my home guys, but I think it makes a lot of sense as I've just, you know, thought it out loud here with you guys.
Yeah. Sometimes Andy, for my play of the week, is not knowing when to buy, it's when to sell. I would look to sell players that you have high amount of skepticism of them being back where they are this next year. So one team I am looking at is Pittsburgh Steelers. And one guy that has been really hot, who I'm just not in love with as a player, is George Pickens. This is the time to look to move some of your Pickens cards, right? We know pretty certain that he is going to be with the Steelers next year, right? Would you expect him to be? Okay. Terrible quarterback situation. Really hard division with Joe Burrow coming back healthy next year. Browns, I still think, will be really good. So, and the Ravens are the Ravens. I would look to move George Pickens because he has been hot. I mean, he has been unconsciously good. And I think you could see a shootout kind of game this weekend in Buffalo because there's no TJ Watt. You know, I'm skeptical of both teams' pass rush going in to this weekend. So George Pickens, he could go nuclear again. I would look to move his stuff. And, you know, I looked this morning, rookie ticket autos for him are going in the $62 region, $51 region. So not too high or not too low. So I could totally see if you've bought a lot of his stuff, you want to hold on to it for longer than that. But man, I just don't like the Steelers that much going. And as Steve points out, the time to move Pickens was before the season. Right. Mm-hmm. So he'll have a preseason hype cycle going into next season. I'm just not a huge believer in him moving forward.
Yeah. He finished as the wide receiver 28 overall. So in that Jacoby Myers, Chris Godwin type range, which is not bad. I mean, Justin Jefferson finished there, but he missed eight games due to injury and lost Kirk Cousins for the season. So we got to let him slide, especially after how he finished his season on a good note. You know, I do think that Pickens, he'll be fine, but I don't think he'll ever be as hot as he was his rookie year, unless Pittsburgh really revolutionizes things at the quarterback position and just the way they run the offense in general and everything.
All right, in the chat, really quickly before we skedaddle, give us your Super Bowl predictions. Caden Salter has the Amari Cooper-led Browns going up against the Rams, and he has a Browns Rams Super Bowl.
Browns Rams. That's interesting. Browns in the Super Bowl would be cool. It would be cool to see them break the curse with 38-year-old Joe Flacco.
I will tell you this. The Browns have the second best roster in this playoff. I really do think so. I would say the 49ers have the best roster. Browns have the second best roster. It's either them or Dallas. From top to bottom, Browns are freaking stacked. I said that before the season, man. If Deshaun just gave them decent QB play, you knew it was going to be fire. So,
and think about the script, right? Again, the script again, right? Is there a situation where the Browns can face off the Ravens? Like Joe Flacco going back to where it all started? Like, I mean, this is crazy.
The AFC wants that so bad. They want, they really, really, really want Chiefs, Bills, second round. Browns, Ravens, second round. That would be the most heavily anticipated AFC championship or AFC semifinal weekend. That would be absolutely insane. But also CJ Stroud with Houston, one of the biggest media markets in the country. If we get CJ Stroud versus Lamar, that would be pretty big as well. The only thing the NFL doesn't want is the Steelers, even though they're the biggest, one of the biggest brands. Nobody wants to see Mason Rudolph, but unlike college football, they still let you get into the playoff with your backup quarterback, Andy, or in this case, your third string quarterback. So
Rudolph's going to let it rip, man. So get those George Pickens auctions going, end them at halftime or third quarter, man, because Rudolph is going to let it rip.
So let's see. Mr. T is going San Francisco winning it all. You are not allowed to say that as a Seahawks fan. But then again, Mr. T, I felt bad for your Washington Huskies last night. I was pulling for him. Michael Penix lost himself some money last night. Did not look good really at all. But then again, he was getting hammered behind that offensive line. Dave says the Texans have no chance. Well, I'm not asking who won't make it. I'm asking, Andy, who will win the Super Bowl? Who will go to the Super Bowl? Steve is agreeing with me. Bills 49ers Super Bowl.
Yeah. Steve was agreeing with you. Yeah, earlier. Yeah, he's really liking the Buffalo. Yeah, sorry, Carter. I was looking at trying to keep up with the comments over here in the chat. The Buffalo going. San Fran. Kadon said Penix looked like the lights got to him. Oren thinks that the Texans are going to beat the Browns because they're the Browns.
Yeah, but the Texans are the Texans too. So you just got two franchises that have just stumbled upon loaded rosters, and they're here. But yeah, we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Andy, I want you to show the world your armpit, man. You're getting a workout in before, and let's see that left pit. Let's see it. Well, look at that.
Oh, that's not that bad. That's just you're
working out. I'm not working out. So you were getting a workout before we fired up this show.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got to get on your level.
Yeah, man. Stay tuned. Maybe talking a little bit about that tonight. Got the comeback card investor making a comeback, coming back to talk some sports and cards with me and live tonight on the channel, live at 9 p.m. Eastern. So you guys,
who's the comeback card collector?
My buddy Brad. He's actually
Brad. Okay, yeah.
Got me into the modern day hobby. The whole reason why I'm in on this YouTube channel right now is because of him. He got it all started.
Well, we'll see you guys tonight. Peace out.
All right, see you guys there. Peace.